And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a Don't Wake Up Live edition. Ari Wasserman joins. It is his first night home alone with the baby. She's asleep. We hope she doesn't wake up. I'm going to try to keep Ari quiet so he doesn't wake her up.
Yeah, this is a kind of a landmark in every parent's life. My fiance is out on the road for business because she has a much more important job than I do. And I am here being Mr. Mom. So I did the bath by myself. I did tender time by myself. All these things. Fed the baby. She's now out of a swaddle.
Did you read her a book?
I read her a book. We have a whole routine. These books are really, like, I was thinking to myself, actually, now that you bring it up, they're so easy to write. I feel like I could write them. And a lot of them like have like 150 total words. 150 total words.
Imagining, yes, but you have to choose the correct 150. This is the problem. You and I, we write these things that are several thousand words long. And I don't know that either of us could boil it down to the correct 150. Like red hat, green hat, blue hat, oops. That's just genius.
Yeah,
I don't know if I got the colors right.
I'm assuming that some of the people in some of the books, like the Dr. Seuss books, I mean, I don't know, like the books that we grew up reading.
Well, Dr. Seuss was on another level. But yeah,
everything in journalism, there's some good sports writers and some okay ones, and there's some bad ones. I feel like it could be at least a bad baby book writer.
I'm sure there is, but I mean, I think we've covered that ground in Elf when they're in the pitch meeting with Peter Dinklage, where
that's right.
Was it Andy Richter? Who one of the guys is like, he's an asparagus, but he hates himself because his pee smells funny. Like there are bad baby book ideas. There are probably a lot of terrible ones. They never see the light of day.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to give it a shot. If I'm ever in a position where I have some time to actually consider a subject and stuff. But it's like, look, it's a fish. There's one book that we read. It says, good night, lamp. Good night, fish. Good night. And it's just a good night, a bunch of random things. And then good night,
night moon.
It's a very
famous book.
Is it?
Yes.
So whoever wrote good night, moon is just a genius.
Whoever wrote good night, moon has their own yacht. And when they walk off their own yacht, they step into a Rolls Royce.
So he's throwing money at people. Whoever wrote that, she's
throwing lobsters at people, shirtless. I think they're shirtless.
I'm not doubting the fact that person now made I'm looking a ton up the of picture, money. If it's a very famous book and everybody has it. What I'm asking you specifically is, do you think that...
Okay, I don't think Margaret Wise Brown is shirtless. I apologize to Margaret Wise Brown.
Do you think that Margaret Wise Brown is a genius?
I think she is now. So she wrote that book in 1947.
Okay.
She actually passed away in 1952.
Oh.
She wrote Goodnight Moon and The Runaway Bunny. Yeah, that's actually very sad. She passed away at the age of 42 in 1952.
Well, so now she I feel never like an
got
asshole.
To enjoy the spoils of a best seller.
I mean, I'm sure her family is still cashing checks from how many. I mean, apparently you said everybody reads this book, but the question I have is, just because a lot of people bought it, or just because it's famous, or just because everybody reads the same books to their children, does that mean that every single person who wrote a children's book's a genius?
No. Every person who wrote a good children's book that made tons of money is a genius. Like Where the Wild Things Are. Now that's not for your kid's age. That's an older book, but that's pretty awesome. Like that book is spectacular, but a lot of that's about the art too. But
I feel like the illustrations, in these things are probably way more important than the words.
You have Snuggle Puppy, right? Like, so if you don't, I'm going to mail you a copy.
We had to nail shelves to the wall, which I was in charge of. Mm-hmm. And one is crooked because I was in charge. And there's like a million books in there. And we're kind of trying to do a rotation every night where we read her a new one. Some are more impressive to me than others.
What's your favorite? Like from in a literary sense.
I don't remember what they're all called, so you'll have to forgive me. But there's
just give me the plot. I think the
Giving Tree is a good. We have that.
That's a good tree. One.
There's one about how this mother rocks the baby to sleep, and then rocks the baby the child to sleep, then rocks the adult to sleep, and then she dies, and then the kid rocks his mom to sleep and says, "I still love you," and then rocks his daughter to sleep. It's like kind of a sad book, but I think that's kind of touching. But like, I'm not necessarily impressed with "Good Night, Baby," "Good Night, Moon," "Good Night, Lamp," "Good Night, Whatever." It's like anybody could just write "Good Night, Whatever," and then get an illustrator to do it, and then just, you know, I don't know. I'm arrogant enough to think I can do all sorts of jobs.
So Sandra Boynton is the one who wrote the Blue Hat, Green Hat, Oops book, and Snuggle Puppy, and Barnyard Dance, and Moobah La La La. She's a genius. Now she's just cranking these things out.
You know, yeah, she's the James Patterson of baby books. Okay,
or the Sue Grafton, there's one for every letter of the alphabet.
Okay,
Googled the hippopotamus. That's a classic.
I Googled famous baby books, and we have a few of these. Okay, so Goodnight Moon, I guess, was famous. Brown Bear, we have that one.
Oh yeah,
Pika, that's a great one. Pika Who?
Brown Bear, what do you see?
Yeah, Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, we have that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, Love You Forever. That's the one that I like, I think. Love You Forever paperback. It got a 5 out of 5.
Go the F to Sleep.
87%.
That came out when my son, right around the time my son was born, and everybody thought it was really funny to give us that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day if I'm in a position where I don't have a job, you never know. Could happen. I'll try to write one of these things.
Sandra Boynton has sold over 70 million books. We are in the wrong line of work.
You also should like Google Harry Potter, which I've never read because I don't like that type of stuff. But
I've read all of them cover to cover, and I've waited in line at a Walmart to buy a Harry Potter book.
For you or for your children?
J.K. Rowling has a lot of my money.
Because you're like into it?
I love it.
Yeah, I'm
a Slytherin, Ari.
I get into it.
But I'm kind of on the cusp. I'm like a reverse of Harry. You know, Harry's a Gryffindor. But kind of a little bit of a Slytherin. He's a parcel tongue. He can speak snake. I'm the other way. I'm a Slytherin, but have Gryffindor traits. I've taken the quiz on Pottermore.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's the same every time.
Single word that just came out of your mouth. I get into fights with my friends about this, and I'll ask you this. I'm not much of a sci-fi fantasy land type person. Like, I don't like the Marvel movies. Not a big comic book guy. I don't like fantasy. Like, I don't know if I'm just like missing the boat on it, but to me, I feel like it's so much easier to write when you're not bound from any reality. Like, if you could like write anything, you can just kind of make it up as you go.
That's where you're wrong. The best thing about sci-fi and fantasy is the world building. You have to create the rules of the world yourself. If you can't create rules for your world or build a good world, your story sucks. Like, so the best sci-fi and the best fantasy build the worlds, and then you want to live in it. And it's not just sci-fi and fantasy. Like, world building is important in any sort of creative endeavor when it's fiction. Like John Wick, prime example. Like, I would watch a TV show or a series of movies about the hotel in John Wick. That is a beautiful piece of world building. And so if you look at your big sci-fi and fantasy franchises, your Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, Star Wars, all of those, beautiful world building. I'll give you one that I just watched on Netflix. And I'm not an anime person, so I did not see the original. But Cowboy Bebop, they did a live action version of that. That is a tremendous piece of world building where you're like, I understand the rules of this world, how it works, and now I can invest in these characters. So it's actually much harder than you think.
Maybe I'm just lack imagination, because that's all I hear from my friends whenever I tell them Like, I think that Star Wars is like the greatest racket in the history of humanity. Like, I feel like they
It's a very simple story.
But they also keep really re-releasing it and re-releasing it and re-releasing it and re-releasing it. And everybody goes and they have to go and they have to go. And from what I understand, the movies are starting to suck. And that they just keep making them and they keep making them and they keep making them.
But the ancillary properties are good. Like, The Mandalorian is basically an interstellar Western. So The Mandalorian is Yellowstone set in that galaxy.
But don't you think Yellowstone is just better because our world is big enough and like there's the crazy stuff that happens?
I think they're both great. I mean, there's a lot of things about Yellowstone that I don't believe. Like, there's a this is over a year old at this point. There's a massive shootout downtown Bozeman, Montana. A bomb went off in an office and blew it up. The agriculture commissioner, someone came in guns blazing and he mowed them down in broad daylight and then went and found the other guys and mowed them down in broad daylight with officers from other agencies just looking on. Never mind the pile of bodies in Wyoming at the train station. And, you know, there's an edge of a cliff where there's just skeletons stacked for days. But this all of this happened in broad daylight. And everybody's like, well, he's the agriculture, he's the livestock commissioner, so it's cool.
Yeah, like, you know, I also...
The federal government would swoop in if there are that many bodies in that little tiny Montana town. And it's like,
I think you can make a case, too, that Breaking Bad is the greatest series in the history of mankind. And there are things that occur in that show, too, that are a little bit stretch of reality.
Breaking Bad, though, is it... The Walter White and the Jesse stuff happen on such a small scale that it's... It's believable. Now, I don't know.
I mean, there's an entire episode where they create a huge battery or magnet and, like, completely take out an entire evidence.
Science!
Like, but, like, you know, I am... So I just bought a book called Under the Banner of Heaven, and it's apparently about
also a famous book.
I've never heard of this book, and my editor, Mitch Light, just told me to buy it. And, like, this, to me, is crazy, and I want to read about this. And like that happened within the, like, I find like true crime and things that happen within the realm of reality be far more interesting than.
Oh, see, I love that stuff too. Like Bad Blood, the story of Theranos and the lady who just got.
It's amazing. I listened to that entire 15-hour podcast in one sitting.
Yeah. I read his book and it's fascinating. I love all that stuff too. I just like it all. So that, but really, Sandra Boynton is who we should aspire to be. 70 million books, Ari. 70 million.
If we ever get 70 million of anything, we'll be in a good position.
Oh, imagine if we had 70 million podcast subscribers. By the way, hit that subscribe button. Five-star reviews, please. Stars matter. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
So why are we talking about baby books and TV shows and fiction? Because we're waiting on Caleb Williams. That's why we're doing this. We are waiting on Caleb Williams to make a decision. The news cycle in college football has paused briefly. The news cycle in the NFL is going insane with Sean Payton stepping away and the Bears hiring a GM and jobs open everywhere. We're waiting on to see if the news cycle in the NFL will contribute to the college football news cycle. Will the Raiders offer Jim Harbaugh their job? But we're waiting now on Caleb Williams. I spent the night, Ari, looking up enrollment drop dead dates at various schools. So now I know If you want to go to USC, you better be in by the end of this week. If you want to go to Wisconsin next week early, I believe February 4th is your last day. And LSU, I believe you got to be in pretty late, like Thursday or Friday of this week.
So you had the most amazing segue of why did we talk about all that stuff? Because we're waiting. How about this for another segue? Fantasyland, Caleb Williams to Wisconsin. Is that like a fantasy world that we want to like explore right now? Do we want to go down that road?
Is it a fantasy land though? Is it really?
I just can't imagine everything that I've come to learn about what he and his family want, why Wisconsin would have made the list. And I guess like if you want to like say Russell Wilson model, you know, whatever happened like 20 years ago.
Wisconsin fan ask me the same question today because I was texting them about it. And I'm like, how you feeling? They said, why Wisconsin? And my answer was this, because you'll play under center, you'll play with a fullback, you'll play with two tight ends a lot, you will check protections, you will set protections, you will be literate in all the things that an NFL quarterback must be literate in by the time you get to the NFL. That would be my reasoning. And here's, so everybody keeps looking at this from an NIL standpoint, is where can Caleb Williams get the best NIL deal? I think we're thinking too small in this case. I know most players don't qualify for more than like a local taco place NIL deal. Caleb Williams is not most players. He was the number one overall recruit. He's the number one overall QB. He has shown that he has a very high ceiling as a quarterback. Now, we talked about this on the podcast last time. Is he a perfect prospect? No, he has work to do. But he qualifies for national stuff. And if you qualify for national stuff, it doesn't matter which school you pick.
So, like, are you trying to make
You're bringing the show to the school. The school's not bringing the show to you.
But I think I would push back on the idea that you have to go play under center to qualify or to learn the NFL.
You don't have to. I'm just saying if you were going to say, well, we've played in an air raid now, and that's what Lincoln Riley's offense is still at its core, the air raid. They have added a lot of stuff to it. They've added a ton to the run game, which makes those quarterbacks, as you can see, there's three of them starting in the NFL right now, more prepared for the NFL than they would have been, you know, in the pure uncut Mike Leach, old Cliff Kingsbury air raid. But imagine having that skill set or having been in that offense and then playing in the Wisconsin offense. Suddenly you're pretty much ready for any playbook you get thrown.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see that. It's just like, if you want to like make that case, you could say that Wisconsin should be, you know, landing Graham Mertz every year. Or a top five player every year. Well, and I know that it's versatile, but like, I think the NFL is catching up to the idea of if a quarterback we draft comes into the NFL, they have to play our game. Like, I mean, if Cliff Kingsbury has shown anything, he's shown that the person doesn't have to be the perfect prototypical type quarterback to find success in the league. So
Andy Reid.
Yeah, Andy Reid, any of them.
Is your best example of that.
Because the NFL was stubborn for so many years, and I try to think, like, how many great quarterbacks were ruined because of stubborn head coaching philosophies? You know what I mean? And, like, now it's like Caleb Williams is going to go play in literally the most boring offense in college football to showcase his talent for the NFL draft. It's like, it just doesn't, maybe. Like, let's just, like, you know, you want to talk about creating
a
world.
But maybe they make it more interesting for him. I mean, when Russell Wilson was there, it was a very interesting offense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, you know. But, like, in that world, it's just, like, all of a sudden, Wisconsin, like, the number one thing, it's like, let's go down the road, you know. Let's create our fantasy world. Let's create our Harry Potter in Madison. He goes there. Then all of a sudden, Wisconsin has a sexier, more imaginative offense that isn't just trying to hit off tackle till they run into a more talented team. That draws in more.
They have a quarterback who can do that. And oh, by the way, what closes talent gaps faster than anything?
Quarterback. So like we're making this fake world.
Also, who's been more successful, Wisconsin or USC, over the last 5 to 10 years?
If you looked at both of those programs as stocks, which one's getting your money?
Wisconsin.
So you're more of a Coke investor than like an Amazon? Maybe not Amazon. Let's say like Tesla.
Wisconsin's IBM. It's your your old line.
Yeah, you're a dividend stock. Mutual fund. You're trying to get a stock that pays dividends.
Leave it in there for 40 years and you're ready to retire.
So you're not like any, you're not somebody who's like investing in the innovation. You want steady growth with a dividend, or very little growth with a dividend.
That's
the perfect thing that embodies who Caleb Williams is. Caleb Williams is like the Tesla prospect. And I'm not even saying like I'm a Tesla person. Like maybe you don't believe that it's overpriced, but USC to me is going, USC has a much easier path and a much more likely
path. You are falling into the trap you always fall into with jobs too. You are thinking about where you'd rather live.
No, I'm not.
Don't do that.
Which team has an easier path and a more likely path to winning a national championship in 5 years? It's not even a debate. Like it's not.
Which team's gotten closer in the last 5 years?
There's no Marvel movie that can even come up with such fantasy land. Wisconsin hit its ceiling.
I'll tell you right now. Caleb Williams is Captain Marvel. As my family.
What is he, like a supervillain or a superhero?
She's a she.
She, sorry.
She's their Superman. She's their Superman. She can do everything. She's unstoppable.
Yeah. Okay. So you think Caleb Williams could lift Wisconsin into a Big Ten championship and a playoff berth?
If Wisconsin has Caleb Williams, how do you feel about Wisconsin playing Ohio State?
I think they are
in a one game scenario.
They're definitely way more likely to win that game.
It is not that far fetched.
I know, but you could also say the same thing. How would you feel about Eastern Michigan's chances of beating Ohio State adding Caleb Williams? They'd be much more likely to win. Doesn't mean they're going to.
They would, no. Eastern Michigan would still get crushed. Wisconsin would have a chance. So I'm playing devil's advocate here, Ari. I mean, USC makes the most sense, the Lincoln Riley factor, all that. But
USC is two recruiting classes away. Maybe one and a half, depending on how Lincoln Riley finishes the transfer.
Caleb Williams will be gone in two recruiting classes. He'll be in the NFL.
No, I'm saying they're two recruiting classes away from having more talent accumulated than Wisconsin has in the last 7 years.
Okay.
It's not even close.
And Caleb Williams will be in the NFL in 2 years. He doesn't have 2 years.
No, I know. I mean, their team is already more talented than Wisconsin's, even before Lincoln Riley arrived. So, like, I mean, this isn't even a thing.
Wisconsin can
also
probably block
USC
a lot
plays
than
in
USC.
A much crappier conference.
Those players, the talent of those players matters, especially if you're a quarterback.
Listen, if Caleb Williams picks Wisconsin, I will stand up and applaud the man. I don't not want him to go there. I think it would
be
great.
Do we need to make a bet?
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to bet that he's going there.
How much cheese do you need to eat? What's your least favorite cheese?
I've never met a cheese I don't like.
Oh, how are we going to do this?
But you know what grosses me out? You know what the thought grosses me
What's
out?
That? Squeezy cheese?
And this kind of came up with our baby because she was having constipation issues. And then Britt bought some formula from Germany and now she poops like 3 times a day. It's amazing. Like our baby formula is in German. This idea of goat's milk just grosses me out.
Oh, goat cheese is fantastic.
Like it, just like the
just
idea
it
of it coming from goat.
You get the goat cheese
out.
with a little bit of blueberry on it.
Doesn't taste good. I'm not even saying that I haven't eaten it. I'm sure I've eaten it and thought it was really good and not even known. I'm just saying the thought of goat's milk. Like I could go downstairs and I could drink 2% milk out of a bottle until it's half empty. But if it came from a goat, it would.
What is it about a cow that seems so much more appealing than a goat?
I don't know. Maybe you know this about me, but like I'm mainstream. I like mainstream things, like USC.
Which is why you can't imagine the idea of a hotshot quarterback who could go play at USC right now saying, "No, I'm gonna be a Badger."
Yeah. Well. Here's the thing. Wisconsin might be goat's milk.
We can't say that about America's Dairyland. I'm sorry. They are cow's milk.
Yeah, all the way.
They are
cheese
curds all the way. Like,
which are
They are cow's milk.
And I will say this, just to extend an olive branch to the Wisconsin faithful who probably hate me right now. I think Madison is like the best college town in America that I've been to. And we're going to change that hopefully in the fall. And cheese curds are amazing.
Madison is hard to beat. I don't care where I take you. it will be tough to beat Madison.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess there's a difference between which stadium is the loudest and which college town is the best. Like, I can't imagine that any SEC college campus is cooler than Wisconsin.
It's tough. It's, like I said, tough to beat. So,
but here's the thing, before we move on, I want to say one other thing. When Wisconsin got their heads beat in by Notre Dame, I posted a tweet on the internet that you ridiculed me about. And I don't know if you remember this, but this was like four months ago. Yeah.
Probably water under the
bridge. I said, at what point does Wisconsin consider abandoning their archaic offensive philosophy and trying to do something better? And then you screamed at me
every single year. Yes,
and now it's all coming back to you now, right, bud?
Yeah.
But it's just like, to me, like, if Wisconsin is looking for the type of break that could mean a renaissance for the program without even having to overhaul its offensive philosophy or the identity that is one and the same when you think of Wisconsin football, it would be plugging in a mega talent at quarterback like Caleb Williams, who may Correct. Attract more talent, who may...
And it may be, Ari, that they've tried, and I would argue they have. You've seen them evolve slightly on offense, but they've not had the talent at quarterback to be great.
All the skill position players. I know they've got really good running backs every year, but their receivers and their defensive backs.
Yeah, I know. Their receivers have not been.
So maybe that attracts more. But like, the thing I don't understand about the scenario is, if you're in the Caleb Williams camp, who, by the way, right now are just waiting to do a cannonball into a pool of attention. What is it? Do you like sit there and say, well, if we go to Wisconsin, we'll have two different types of offenses that we've been proficient under, like the thing that you just laid out, like, are they thinking that, or are they thinking, let's go to the flashiest place with
here's what I've been told by some people who have dealt with them, that there's a master plan here. And we hear that a lot from QB families. Like you and I have dealt with a lot of QB recruits.
It's always master plan. Everyone has a master plan.
Yeah. But this master plan is different from the one I've heard before. Because a lot of those are usually, you know, start at the school by this date, you know, be QB1 at the college by this date, or it's win the Heisman, or it's be a first round draft pick, or be the number one draft pick. This master plan is geared toward the signing of the second contract, and in the NFL, which is a much longer range plan than we typically hear about, and it's where the real money is.
And you want to send your quarterback to a school that has at times looked to have ruined Graham Mertz instead of the quarterback that you or quarterback guru that you initially committed to out of high school with the same vision, who now is at
You spend a year with him. You know exactly what you're getting with him.
I know,
so,
but it's like taking a pizza out of the oven 30 minutes into the bake.
They got Lincoln Riley, they'll go to USC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to, if I had to bet, my bet would be I'm going to go with the person that has three NFL starters right now who have all either signed second contracts or will sign second contracts, who's won multiple Heisman trophies, has been to the playoff, and now is in a place where you can be most visible while also playing in a conference that you can easily win while still getting drafted in the first round. So like,
that's the decision they made the first time. Or you can be the QB who beats Ohio State and become a legend like Scott Tolzien.
Didn't even remember who beat Ohio State last time.
That wasn't the last time they beat them, but
no, I don't even remember why Tolzien is a legend. What game was that?
They had some defensive end named Watt on the team too.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
But I don't know.
It doesn't compute to me, especially when you think, like, if we did a list right now of the five most proven quarterback gurus at the college level, like Paul Christ
is he
the one that's moving the needle for you? I mean, and like, that's the thing too, which is like, why not go play for Kirk Ferentz then? I mean, that's a different type of offense. Why not go play for a Navy? They play a different offense.
If Iowa could block better and we're losing their one mega superstar in the line, I don't think that's a terrible idea for a good quarterback, because you could really elevate them.
Yeah, well, I want to live in a college football world where that stuff happens. It's just hard to believe because it never does.
That's
like
the thing.
Russell Wilson like this type of recruit when he was a transfer? Like, or Russell Wilson's legend?
He was really good. Like, he was really good at NC State, and everybody knew he was really good at NC State. The issue that they had at that time was he and Mike Glennon were both graduating, and Tom O'Brien had to pick one of them, because one, if he waited too long, they were both going to leave. And so he had to pick one, and he picked Glennon, which, I mean, we've seen time and again that Russell Wilson's better at football than Mike Glennon. So he picked wrong. But that was a situation, and then Russell picks a situation where that Wisconsin team was pretty ready made. Like, that was the best team in the Big Ten that he walks into. And I believe that was Ohio State's interim year with Fickell after all that stuff, right? Or am I off by a year?
I think that's right. So, all I remember was the Hail Mary that Ohio State
beat. Michigan State was really good. Kirk Cousins was at Michigan State. So, I mean, the Big Ten had some really good teams at the top, but that was pretty ready made. And he had already basically, he had proven he was good at NC State, but he was still a 5'11 quarterback.
What do you think would be more shocking? Travis Hunter picking Jackson State or Caleb Williams picking Wisconsin?
Caleb Williams picking Wisconsin, but would both things sort of lead you to the same conclusion that maybe this new era is not going to be completely favorable to the superpowers? Because that would seem like a different distribution of talent than we expected.
And I think that's what everybody wants. I mean, everybody wants that. You know, and it's funny.
They say they want that, but if this happens, everybody's going to be like, what are you doing? You could go to USC.
I know, but if it happens and Wisconsin rocks shit, it'd be great. Like, if Wisconsin was really, really good.
That's the thing. It would probably would inform similar decisions later on.
Right, right. It all starts with one thing, you know? And it's like, everybody thinks, is Travis Hunter going to be the first person who leads the way to Jackson State? And since then, Jackson State picked up another top 100 player. It's like, all it takes is one person to do something and for it to work. You know, it's just like, to me, yeah. If I were a parent.
I noticed, speaking of that, I noticed Shamar Stewart, the edge rusher from Miami, our Manny Navarro did a big story on him. Stewart's guy said Jackson State was not in the mix, although the other guys kept it pretty quiet until they signed. So
yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Jackson State is that it's not a thing until they pull the hat out at the last second. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. But yeah, so I am for that. I don't want people to think that I'm not for it. I just try to put myself in a position where if I were a parent, would you want your kid to do the thing that was new and exciting and as a trailblazer? Or would you want to take the shortest path to the money? And I feel like I would take the shortest path to the money.
I don't think either, but USC versus Wisconsin, I got to be honest with you, Ari, they both lead to the money. Like, it's not going to Wisconsin isn't going to keep him out of the money. You go ball out of Wisconsin, you're a first-round draft pick.
I mean, I think if he went and played Eastern Michigan and took that $1 million just to go, right, he would be a first-round draft pick. I mean, I think
are any Power 5 school, If you play great as a quarterback, one, you're going to elevate that school. If it's not Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, one that's already there. But you're going to elevate that program probably to a different echelon. And you are going to be rewarded in the draft. So,
but I think you can make the case that Caleb Williams could go anywhere and be a first-round pick.
Matter on that front. What's that?
I think Caleb Williams would be a first-round pick no matter where he went.
Oh, if he's in the group of five, I agree with you. But I think if you're looking for marketability, that sort of thing, you'd probably need to be in the Power 5.
Yeah, but like, marketability is certainly not at the top of his list, right? I mean, he's already a very marketable player, but like, Wisconsin isn't even in the same.
It's at the top of somebody's list in that organization. So,
yeah,
like I'm fascinated by this. I really am, because the longer this goes, the more I'm just sort of bracing for something odd. Like, I keep seeing those fight on emojis get posted by USC and by Lincoln Riley. And every time it's not him, I'm like, huh, that's something there. But it's going to happen. He's got to announce at some point. I don't think he's going to the USFL or trying to challenge the NFL's age rule in court or anything like that. So he's going to pick a school at some point, and that'll be that. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, I wanted to talk a little more about, and I got to say, the cynic in me today was like, oh, maybe they would have done it today, but the Sean Payton thing just blew it out of the water. The cynic in me also thinks Sean Payton, maybe he did decide he's kind of burnt out and he didn't want to coach the Saints anymore and maybe take a year off and do TV. But the timing of this screams to me, I'm promoting my movie where Kevin James plays me.
Yeah, that's a weird casting job.
Well, I was thinking about that because I was like, okay, well, who would I want to play me? And I was thinking, who would you want to play you? And believe it or not, there's a website where you can upload a photo of someone and they'll tell you what actors should play you.
Did you do this?
So I have uploaded both of our photos.
If you say Jonah Hill, for me, I'm like exiting the chat.
I fully expected Jonah Hill, but it was not Jonah Hill. Okay. And I will tell you that the guy that the app picked for you, I don't know if you're familiar with his work. Did you watch Alias?
Uh-uh.
You already said you don't watch Star Wars. So he was in the more recent Star Wars.
He was in Star Wars. God, get out of here.
What's wrong with that? That could be Oscar Isaac. It's not, but it could be.
I just Googled Alias.
So, yeah, you're not Jennifer Garner, obviously. We're not having her play you. Greg Grunberg is the actor's name. And he's sort of a That Guy Hall of Famer. And I would believe him as Ari Wasserman.
Oh, yeah.
I really
good.
Would.
I'm good. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I guess that would be a good one.
Now, other possibilities that were thrown out for you. Chris Penn. I don't think that works for you. You don't look like him. Joshua Jackson, Pacey, or Charlie Conway from the Mighty Ducks. That's a handsome devil.
Yeah. I mean, that second guy is not handsome. So like I'm like, you know, I went to the gym, I got the personal trainer, I saw your photo on Twitter. I got 4 months to this wedding. Like I'm going to get skinny and then we can redo this because like I'm not the skinniest guy in the world, but I'm not ugly. So like, if you take who was the other person you said?
Chris Penn or Joshua Jackson? Joshua Jackson is a very handsome person.
Chris Penn that one is offensive.
Josh, you were also a 28% match with George Wendt, Norm from Cheers.
Okay. Joshua
But you
Penn,
were a 20... 20-
isn't even come up with images. It's a soccer player.
Chris Penn, not Joshua.
Oh, Chris Penn. So here's the thing. I like shows and movies. I don't know actors' names very well.
Well, yeah, I'm blanking it on, I think actually Chris Penn is a singer. Isn't he the one that sings, what if I was Romeo in black jeans? No, he's an actor. Plays tough guys. Okay. So it's Sean Penn's brother. Michael Penn is the brother who sang the "What If I Was Romeo in Black Jeans."
Okay, so who are yours? Not alive. Then? Tough guy.
He's not alive anymore. Wait, I got a couple more for you because there's one that's spectacular. Okay, you're a 27% match for some guy named Maxim Chermakovsky, who I didn't recognize the name, but as soon as I Googled him, I realized who he was. He's from Dancing with the Stars. He's one of the dancers on Dancing with the Stars. He is fantastically handsome. Like, this is who you want. Oh, yeah,
that's
playing.
My guy. That's like mid-20s. That's like 25-year-old Ari right there.
Yeah, there you go. But the 26% match is my favorite. Sean Astin, Rudy himself, or you don't watch fantasy, but Samwise Gamgee from the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Dude, that's my guy.
Rudy,
yeah.
Rudy.
Do you know
Rudy.
What's so funny is how often I use the Rudy references for how I like think it's like the thing that killed the way of a fan.
Absolutely.
It's so funny. You want to know what's hilarious? When I was a kid, everybody used to say I look like Goldberg from Mighty Ducks. And
Did
then
you have curly hair?
Yeah, like I mean back in the day, like when I was in high school.
Okay.
The dude from Heavyweights, what's his name? Sean Weiss is his name.
I know who you're talking about.
And people used to call me
He was very typecast as a kid.
Yeah. He had but like also my personality is just like his in all the movies that he plays. So I heard that one when I was a kid. People used to call me Goldberg. So, you know, the fact that he's not on the list is kind of upsetting. But I also have seen recent pictures of him and he had a drug problem and got clean and actually is looking pretty good again. Good? Yeah.
Okay. So I've been called Fat Ray Liotta before. I don't think we look much alike. I've gotten Gary Sinise before. I don't think I look much like him. I put my face in here, and it was that picture I uploaded the other night, the shirtless one. Which,
oh, so you by went, the way, you went you put your best self up there?
Well, it was just my face. I cropped the face out of it and put it up there because it's all they want is the face.
Oh, they didn't want your six pack in there?
That's not a six pack. That's like a. I don't know.
I see toned abdomen. Like
six pack of bottles. It's not the six pack of cans yet. But no, the reason I put that picture out there is because I know if I gain the weight back, there are thousands of people who will throw that in my face. So it is further momentum to keep the weight off or okay. motivation
right,
to keep
so
the weight off.
Let's hear who your guys are.
All right. So I put mine in there. The number one match was a Colombian director named Antonio Negrete, who I've never heard of. I don't think I look anything like him. He has facial hair and everything. I can't even grow facial hair, so I don't think that works. Although the person I was a 29% match for, I was very proud of this, and this is really who I'd want to play me in the story of my life. Nick Offerman, Ron freaking Swanson. That's
so
my guy right there.
That's your guy.
Get that, shave that soup strainer off. You got to be clean shaven to play me. You're in.
Oh, Nick also Offerman had me the is same. Like when he's a little bit thinner, like he could play you.
Oh, he's in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's married to Megan Mullally. Like they're the funniest couple in America. Rory McIlroy was a match for me. I have no idea why they put a golfer in there and we don't look anything alike.
Who would play you? Rory McIlroy.
Paul Walker in there.
Wow.
Very handsome.
Very
looks
handsome.
Nothing like me. Yeah. Also not alive anymore.
But this game isn't to try to figure out who looks like you. This game is who would be convincing you on the screen.
Who would play you? Dominic West from The Wire. McNulty from The Wire.
Wow.
I mean, if he could get the accent down, because that Irish brogue comes through, it feels like.
You know what you should do when you're done with your list? You should put in Sean Payton's face into this thing and see who it suggests.
This is tremendous. Because
it wouldn't be Kevin James.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it really was Kevin James? If that's how they actually cast this movie?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm doing it right now.
All right, let's hear. I don't know how long
hold on.
Takes.
So you're gonna have to vamp for a second.
So I'm gonna vamp. Yeah, Sean Payton. I'm just trying to pull his picture up and see who I think he looks like. I don't even know who looks like him.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of famous people who look like Sean Payton. That's the part I don't really get. Of course, this is not working. This is great. Technology is great until it completely fails you when you're trying to do a bit on a podcast.
That's a shame.
I don't know. Maybe it would be Kevin James. Now I'm looking at these photos and I'm like,
is it because Kevin James doesn't look anything like him? Or is it because we only know Kevin James as a goofy mall cop who played in King of Queens?
Well, exactly. Exactly. And it's one of those things where I think the King of Queens thing too, like the Kevin James himself just bothers people because like, there's no way that he should have been married to Leah Remini in any even fictional universe, because there's no way he could have landed Leah Remini.
That's not true.
Fictional universe. Well, I guess that's your life is probably similar to that.
My life is King of Queens.
Not I'm wrong. That's actually a lot of sports writers. A lot of sports writers do outkick their coverage
You want to know why? Because sports writers are good with words. And usually when they're good with words, they're good with talking. And if you express confidence and you can be funny and especially in the world where so much of our communication is through written form, you know, with texting and messages and stuff,
text messages didn't exist when I met my wife and.
Yeah, but you.
Well, they existed apparently after all those Bengals memes, but nobody was using them when I met my wife in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, even no matter what, now if you meet somebody, you can't get away from texting. So, like, I think that's a good skill. And actually, people that I'm friends with use me as the proxy. I don't know if proxy is the right word, but they let me craft messages for them on their dating profiles.
So you're basically Cyrano de Bergerac?
I don't know who that is, but I have landed dates for my friends before.
Have you seen the Steve Martin movie Roxanne?
I have. It's the same story. a long time ago, but yes. But yeah, I'm very good with opening messages. I'm very clever. I'm quick, and I can make somebody laugh through the screen. I think so. That has always been
okay.
Did it work,
Sean Payton? Oh, here it is.
How is that vamping?
This
by
is
the way?
Perfect
A plus vamping.
What's that? It was great vamping. So Sean Payton. Damian Lewis from Billions. I think that's a pretty good match.
Yeah, like, that's a good
better,
match. A
little better looking version, but a good match.
But everybody's a better looking
Chaz
version.
Chaz Palminteri, not a match. Here's a good one. David Caruso from CSI Miami. What we have here is murder.
A very good thing, because you can help casting directors moving forward figure out who to cast in movies that they have, you know, a $50 million
budget.
They've
got Stephen Tobolowsky as a match for him. Do you know who Stephen Tobolowsky is?
I'm Googling every single one of these names. As somebody
Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Phil? Yeah. Phil Connors?
That's hilarious.
Ned the Head. Yeah. That is not Sean Payton. But the Damian Lewis thing would have been perfect.
Yeah. Kevin James, I assume, didn't show up.
Kevin James did not show up, but you know what? Kevin James showed up for that movie, and somebody in this world, Ari, somewhere out here in listener land is going to shell out like $13, possibly $117.50 if it's for the whole family with popcorn and drinks, to watch Kevin James play Sean Payton.
I'm definitely going to watch that movie.
In basically the football version of Paul Blart Mall Cop.
I can't wait. I'm going to watch it. I think it's embarrassing how much I enjoy watching movies and shows and how I don't know anyone's name in that realm. Because
you won't watch Lord of the Rings, but you'll watch Paul Blart Mall Cop as Sean Payton.
But I also like find zero fascination with celebrity news, gossip, and all that stuff. So like people who watch the E! Channel or read People magazine,
I don't
know anybody's real name. Like I could like watch a movie and go, oh, that's the guy from that, or that's the girl from that. But like, I don't know any of their names.
Like when I told you Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day, that person.
You could say that, yeah, I know who Ned Ryerson is, and now I know in my head. person is, but I have no idea what their real name is.
I just like saying Tobolowski. So
there's that game on your that cell phone game that you play when you're drunk, where you put the thing on your
forehead. Yes,
I am the worst possible person in the history of that game because I like they have all these actors and like country singers and stuff, and I've never heard of any of these people. Like I feel like I'm completely plugged into pop culture and understanding of all the things that are cool in the world, but like when it comes to actually being specific about who these people are, I have got no idea.
You know why? Because you learn the names of recruits.
Yeah, but I can tell you like a 12-year-old in Louisville who can throw a ball 50 yards.
Yeah. I find when people memorize the 24/7 top 100, like it pushes out a lot of other knowledge.
I forgot all the cool like Tupac lyrics from high school because of it.
See? I mean, you would just be reciting Brenda Had a Baby right now. But
that's
can't.
Probably the last song I'd want to be reciting on the show, but yeah.
It's a little bit of a downer, but yes. But Ari has a baby.
I do.
And that baby has slept through this entire show because she's an angel who has a wonderful birthday. I'm looking at her now on the monitor.
The thing that I hated the most about being a dad for the first 4 months of her life was the swaddle. It never really felt natural to me. I wasn't very good at it. And now we've graduated into the sleep suit.
You never professionally wrap burritos.
No. I still don't know.
I feel like if you've worked at Chipotle, when you have a child and you have to swaddle, you're going to be a natural.
It stresses me out. Everybody else at Chipotle has to do it. But now we have this sleep suit that's basically a straight jacket. Where you put the baby in the sleep suit. I don't know if they had these.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weighted and they can't move. So now it's like all you got to do is put a zipper on and it's up and it's good. And she's sleeping great. She's an angel. I've been looking at her in out of the corner of my eye the entire show. And Andy, thank you so much for working around my schedule again. I feel like this is becoming a theme and you're the star of the show. So like I feel bad.
I was hoping that Caleb Williams would make a decision. Like when you said, let's record later in the night. I was like, that's great. We'll know where he's going. We can be like, he's going to USC or he's going to Wisconsin or whatever. We better
hurry up and get the show up.
Yeah, he's probably going to announce before we post it. That's all right. Liv, sleep tight. Ari, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again on Friday.